Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Somebody who can bring some sense to the situation, somebody who I respect greatly and miss terribly, Frank Isola. You just saw him probably on the Yes Post Game Show breaking down the Nets and Kyrie Irving's big night and as the Nets get a win in Portland. But obviously Frank for The Athletic, he's covered the Knicks for a long time for The Daily News, now writing about basketball for The Athletic. Frank, I appreciate you giving me a couple minutes. I mean, this Porzingis stuff is driving me nuts, Frank. The Knicks fans are drinking the Kool-Aid here that the Knicks are selling. I mean, how could they be fooled by this spin? Porzingis never wanted out of here. With your dealings of him, Frank, what was your take on Kristaps Porzingis as a person when he was here with the Knicks?
Well, I think the Knicks, a lot of Knicks fans, not all of them, but some of them are kind of missing the boat because the Knicks kind of want them to look past the fact that the real problem started when he blew up that exit meeting with Phil Jackson and Steve Mills, and it's something he shouldn't do. Your boss calls you in to meet with him. You're supposed to meet with him. But the reason that he did that, and he wanted to draw attention to it, was that he was not happy with the direction of the franchise. So that was, you know, that was more than 2 years ago. And I think if you look at the record of the Knicks before Porzingis got there, while he was there, and since he's been gone, he was probably onto something, that the direction of the franchise wasn't good. Last year, they were a 17-win team. So I think everyone gets right. He wanted to stay in New York. He just wasn't crazy about what was happening with the team. And, you know, they had gotten rid of, they decided not to renew the contract of Josh Longstaff, who is with the Milwaukee Bucks right now, who was an assistant coach that worked closely with him. They kind of fought him over, you know, what trainers he can use. It's all the stuff that other organizations don't do with franchise players that they want to keep. Clearly, you know, there was a disconnect between the player and the Knicks. And all I would say about this is, all right, let's say that Porzingis, like, was a diva or he was a problem. Well, how do you explain the other 18 years before he showed up and the 2 years or the year that, since he's been gone? Like, no one wants to, everyone is trying to paint this idea that it's somehow Porzingis was the problem. I don't buy it. If you had Porzingis today on your team, who knows what Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant would have done? But even if they decided not to come to the Knicks, the Knicks would have R.J. Barrett and Kristaps Porzingis. That would be a pretty good place to start building a team.
And you could, I mean, I know it's one game for Neil Aquino, but you saw what he did. At least the potential there, Frank, where Porzingis could be the centerpiece and maybe have a couple of guys around him. And that's what I have a hard time buying right now. As somebody who grew up a 90s Knicks fan, you covered those teams. You've been around them for plenty of years. I don't understand how the fans have gotten to a point where they actually trust an organization who has failed miserably for two decades here over a star player. I mean, they love Neil Aquino. They love R.J. Barrett. They love Kevin Knox, who have done nothing. But the second that Porzingis gets traded, they believe all the negative spin about it. It doesn't add up to me how the Knicks fan keeps buying in.
And, you know, the other thing, too, is they were, you know, they've been driving home this thing about rebuilding, which is really, for a lot of executives, it's just a way to, you know, stall and save time and keep their jobs. But if you're rebuilding, why would you trade away your number one asset for Dennis Smith, a guy who kind of fell out of favor with the Dallas Mavericks? He's been hurt. I'm not going to give up on him yet, but, you know, it hasn't looked that good since he's been in a Knick uniform. And, yeah, they got two future first-round picks, which will come from Dallas. Chances are they won't be high picks. And what you're hoping to do with those picks is get a player that's as good as Porzingis. There's no way that the Knick fan is going to know this because they don't talk to NBA people all the time. But if you talk to people around the league, you talk to other coaches, executives, they can't believe that the Knicks made that trade. So I get it. We live in an era now when the media reports something, of course, it's being made up. Everyone has an agenda. Here's all you need to know. Look at the Knicks' record the last 20 years. It speaks for itself. They had a couple of good seasons. The 1 year when Carmelo was tremendous and finished third in the MVP voting, and they won 54 games, made it to the second round. But we're going on two decades now where they've only won one playoff series. And if they have a losing record this year, Sal, that'll match a franchise record of seven straight losing seasons. That's not the media's fault. that's not Kristaps Porzingis' fault. That's someone else's fault.
And those are just the facts. And we're talking about Frank Isola, covers the NBA for multiple outlets. You saw him on Yes Post Game doing the Nets. We'll talk about the Nets in a second. I mean, those are the facts, Frank. They've just been bad for so long here. They trade the superstar potentially in Porzingis. I have to believe, and I love your answer on this, I mean, I have to believe the reason they made that trade was because they believed they were going to be able to get Kyrie and KD. Now, I mean, that's the only potential logic behind making a deal like that, trading Porzingis and clearing some of the cap space.
Now, a couple of weeks before that deal, and some people had been reporting that they were shopping Tim Hardaway. They were looking to trade him. Then I heard from someone, the big contract that they're looking to get off of is Courtney Lee, because if they can get off of Courtney Lee, they can open up enough salary cap space to sign two max free agents, and they believe that they're getting Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. They've already received this, you know, received assurances, all this stuff. Then, you know, they ended up making the deal, and in order to get rid of those contracts, they traded Porzingis. Everyone in the league, there was a point last year in February and March where most people in the league thought that Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant were coming to the Knicks. What happened with that? I'm not sure. I do know this, that a person close to Kyrie told me in May, but now he's still a member of the Boston Celtics at the time, that he wants to live back in the New York area and that he has a lot of reservations about the Knicks organization. And that's why he's leaning more toward Brooklyn. And sure enough, that's what happened. And I think all along, I think Kevin Durant was going to follow Kyrie Irving wherever he went. I think Kyrie was the one kind of leading the charge, and he decided to go to Brooklyn, and Kevin Durant followed him there.
Talking with Frank Isola, a last one on the Knicks, Frank, and then I'll hit you with a couple of Nets before we let you go. And I do appreciate you calling me at this hour. I figured maybe Frank's driving home. Let's see if he can pop on a little bit, talk some hoops here. Is there any chance, I know everybody likes to talk about the owner and getting rid of him. Well, he's not going anywhere. Unfortunately, you're stuck with him. But maybe Mills, Perry, Fizdale, maybe the owner steps in and starts a new regime here. Is there any chance Mills can be gone here if Dolan steps in and fires him if the Knicks continue to go this way?
Well, everything that I've been hearing, I think that they're all going to get the rest of the season, and then maybe things would be reevaluated afterwards. You know, I mean, for David Fizdale, it's a bit of a messed up situation. You know, they brought him in. They were going to tank last year, and they were going to go out and get all these players, and that obviously didn't come to fruition. I know that he's kind of become the target for a lot of Knicks fans, but I think the problem runs a lot deeper than that. I think, you know, for Steve Mills, I think he and Scott Perry, you know, that Porzingis trade is going to be big for them, and we might not be able to decide that for a few years to come. But, you know, I mean, Stephen Bondi, the Daily News, did a pretty good story the other day, like what Steve Mills' record has been. You know, he's been a GM. Now it's 501 games, and they won, you know, a couple hours ago in the South, and that was a really good play. I thought they were going to win the game all along. I just thought they would play well. But, you know, Steve Mills' record, you know, it kind of speaks for itself. It's not a good record over the last 501 games.
Well, that's kind of the point, Frank. What's it going to take to get this guy out of here? You could talk about Fizdale. And look, he hasn't shown to be a good coach. I know the players, whatever. He doesn't have a lot. But he also was brought here in part because LeBron and Dwayne Wade vouched for him, and they thought he could bring in superstars. Well, we saw how that panned out. Nobody cares who the coach is. They didn't come anyway. But Mills is the problem. Mills has been the one constant here. And I know maybe he's a nice guy, but he's done a horrible job. It's time for a change with the leadership of the organization. The best move Dolan made was showing that he could get out of the way and hire Phil. Unfortunately, it was the wrong move. They brought in the wrong guy. He could do it again, get out of the way, get rid of Mills, get rid of Perry, get out of the way, but hire the right guy to run things for a change.
And I also think, too, you know, you're the New York Knicks. You have a ton of money. There's no salary cap for an executive. You know, you could pay them whatever you want. I used to say, you know, 10 years ago, I used to say, how come the Knicks every year don't call up Pat Riley and see if they can bring him back? All right, so that ship's probably sailed. R.C. Buford, who, you know, they've had this incredible 20-year run in San Antonio, he would come to New York if they gave him the opportunity. Masai Ujiri up in Toronto, I think he would come to New York. So I think, you know, I think in the off season, if this kind of continues where it's headed and they lose another 50 games, you know, maybe finally the Knicks might look to some of those other names. Get guys out there that have done it before. That's the one thing about Steve Mills. Steve Mills is not a 35-year-old executive with a history of building teams. He's never rebuilt a team before.
Right.
He doesn't have a history in doing that. So you're entrusting someone who's never built a team. The whole thing doesn't make any sense.
Talk about Frank Isola. You saw him on the Yes post game watching the Nets game. Boy, Frank, I mean, I haven't watched him as much as you have, obviously, over the years. I've seen him in the postseason. I've seen him quite a bit. But when you watch Kyrie Irving night in, night out, as he is now with Brooklyn, boy, the guy's an assassin. I mean, he's the type of player you need to close out games. How far you think Kyrie himself can take this team, even without Durant, this year?
You know, I'm not so sure how far he can take them. But to me, it's still about Durant getting back healthy and Kyrie being your number two. But Kyrie has played very well to start the season. Now, they're only 4-4. They've had some games where guys have, you know, missed free throws and things like that. But you look at the game that they had tonight against Portland. They got Damian Lillard going for 60. There was a 12-minute stretch in this game where Damian Lillard scored 33 points. He was unstoppable. But Kyrie Irving came up with big plays, and down the stretch when the Nets were up three and they needed a basket, Kyrie took the 20-year-old rookie, Anfernee Simons. He drove left and banked that shot. And so it's funny, like Kyrie's a couple of big shots already that he's hit this season. One was over a rookie, R.J. Barrett, and this one was against Anfernee Simons, a kid who played at IMG Academy last year. And I think you're right. You hit on it. You know, Kyrie's like a special player. Like, there aren't many guys in the NBA that can do that at that point in a game. And remember, he's responsible for the biggest shot in the history of the Cleveland Cavalier organization, that big three-pointer over Steph Curry that gave them the lead, and eventually they won their first-ever championship in Cleveland. So those kind of players, that's why you pay them the big bucks. But it's still going to be about Kevin Durant coming back healthy, whatever that's going to be, and how productive he can be.
You think when Durant comes back next year, let's just assume that he's, you know, even if he's not his exact self, let's assume he's fully healthy and still obviously a superstar player. You think championship is in the cards like next year? We could be talking championship with those two?
I think it's possible. I mean, just look at the Eastern Conference, right? In back-to-back years, you lost LeBron James. He left as a free agent, went out west, and then Kawhi Leonard went out west. So, you know, you're looking in the East. You have Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's a wonderful player, a great guy, but you know he has some limitations. You saw him in the playoffs last year, three-point shooting, mid-range game. He still struggled. Then you look at Philadelphia, and Embiid and Simmons are terrific. They've never been out of the second round yet. So, to me, that's why I look at Philadelphia, and Boston's the same thing. To me, this is the year for those teams to try to make that run to get to a finals, because be careful. Because next year when Kevin Durant comes back, and if he can get somewhere close to the player he had been in the past, I think, you know, Kevin Durant is a special player. I mean, Sal, the Warriors, who are a great team, I get it, they were 9-1 in NBA Finals games with Kevin Durant. It's hard to go 9-1 in the regular season.
Right,
at
finals.
Any point in the year, they were 9-1 in NBA Finals games with Kevin Durant. And, you know, for all the nutty stuff that he does and, you know, the Twitter stuff, and he gets, you know, he seems ultra-sensitive. Let's not, you know, lose sight of the fact the guy is an incredible player.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch him paired with Kyrie next year in Brooklyn. But for now, it's still fun to watch that Nets team build that foundation around now the superstar in Kyrie Irving. Frank, I really appreciate it, man. I do miss you. I haven't hung out with you in a while.
You're all grown up. You're married. You got a dog now. You got the whole thing.
Yeah, I know.
I follow you on Twitter. What about you getting that afternoon gig?
Well, Frank, now you're putting me on the spot. I mean,
What do you mean I'm putting you on the spot? You should get it. You're good.
Oh, I appreciate that, Frank.
Who should I talk to?
You know the right people.
Those knuckleheads over at FAN. Who should I talk to? You should get it. You put in the time.
I think our phone's breaking up, Frank. I love you.
You're not saying it. I'm allowed to have my opinion. I think you should be in consideration. Oh. And guess what they should do? Triple your salary.
Yeah.
How about that?
Frank, I'll take it. You're hired as my agent. I appreciate it, Frank.
This is exactly what you wanted me to say, right? You texted me before to say this at the end of the interview.
All right. Cut the phone off. Get him out of here. No, Frank,
good
I appreciate
luck.
It.
Good luck, Sal.
Thanks,
I appreciate it. Good talking to you.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.